Open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles in chapter 26. Easy to follow along this week as it was last week because the lesson is pretty well contained in this chapter. Well, we have a good crowd today, so good morning to everyone. Singing sounds great. And Wendy even brought her food with her. She said I was a long-winded preacher. She was afraid she might faint. Well, I'm hungry too, so maybe I'll cut a little bit short. I don't want to get over there and eat. So. We did talk about last week, and for those who have not been here, we've been discussing the kings, some of the kings during the time of the divided kingdom. And a lot of our emphasis has been on the southern kingdom. I think this is valuable. Perhaps there are some who do not see the value of studying the history that is found in the Old Testament, but I think we cannot do much better than to look at God's Word and how He had dealt with His people and what the consequences would be for obedience and what the consequences would be for those that were disobedient. You know, the Bible says these things were written for our learning, so I'm sure we're here to learn whatever God would teach us. The power is in the Word. The power is in the revelation that God has given us. And it's up to us with the right heart and mind to be receptive of it and to apply it to our lives. Among the kings that we've been studying, we looked at Amaziah last week. Very interesting study. And we kind of concentrated on one verse about him that said he served God. But he did not serve God with his whole heart. I think that's such an interesting statement, well characterizes that man in his service before the Lord. You remember when we looked at his life that he was anxious to go to war with the Edomites. And he gathered together 300,000 warriors out of Judah and Benjamin to do so. But thinking that wasn't enough, he was determined to hire some mercenaries from the northern kingdom, 100,000 in number. He would hire them with 100 talents of silver. And a prophet came to him and said, that's not a good thing to do. Because you're hiring, sure enough, from your brethren in the northern kingdom, but they long ago went into apostasy and God is not with them and He's not going to be with you when you join hands with them. You go ahead and fight, do the best you can do, but you better know this. God is able to lift up and God is able to throw down and you're not going to be successful if you join hands with them. And so he told the mercenaries to go home. Of course, he wasn't getting his money back, and that concerned him. He said, what about the 100 talents of silver? And the prophet said, don't you know that God is able to give you much more than this? And so they went home, but they went home mad. They went home and they pillaged the cities and they killed individuals within those cities. Well, he went to war against the Edomites, Amaziah did, and he was successful, but he did a very strange thing. Because when he won the victory, he brought the gods, the idols of the Edomites, back home with him and burned incense to them and worshiped them. Even though it was his God that gave him the victory, and he won the victory over those so-called other gods. Nevertheless, he brought them home and worshiped them. God sent him a prophet to tell him that that was wrong, and he said, I don't want to hear it. And he even murdered one of the prophets of God. And then he said to the king of the north, who was Joash, listen, let's meet face to face. And then the king of the north said, be better for you if you stayed home. But he wouldn't listen, and so they met face to face. And the king in the south, Amaziah, he lost that battle. And the Bible tells us that he was killed. And also the king from the north, he broke down some of the walls of Jerusalem, and he took the treasures and he took hostages. And the reason I tell you all of this again is to tell you that this new king, Uzziah, his son, when he came to the throne, he walked into this mess. And he was 16 years old when he was on the throne. He better have some good counselors with him, right? The Bible does tell us that he reigned for 52 years. So he reigned more years than most of them reigned here in Jerusalem. Remember, Judah was in the south. Benjamin was in the south. Those nations were together. And they had been more faithful than her brothers to the north, even though they had not been perfect. So he was 16 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 52 years, and the Bible says that he went to war with some of the old enemies of Israel. He went to war with the Philistines, remember them? and the Arabians and even the Ammonites paid tribute to him, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt. He became well known for his strength and for his power. Not only that, he fortified those walls that had been broken down during his father's time, and he built towers, he built the walls back up, he took care of Jerusalem. And the Bible makes an interesting comment about him because it says he was a man that loved the soil. So he went out in the country and he built fortified towers there and walls to protect the vineyards and the herds and the flocks. He was a man of the city and also a man of the country. And he also took care of the military. You know, most of the time our politicians, especially those that run for president, part of their platform will be, you know, we're going to build up the military. We're going to make it stronger than it's ever been before. Well, this was that kind of king. He was determined to build up the military. And so he had an army of over 300,000 men. And the Bible says here they were elite soldiers in the army. And he gave them everything that they needed. Said he provided shields and spears and helmets and body armor and the bow and the sling. And he built engines of war, which is not said about the other kings. Engines of war that he mounted on the towers and the walls of Jerusalem by which they could throw heavy stones and spears at the enemy. It's interesting that he provided for them slings, because you remember that in the southern kingdom was Benjamin, and the Benjamites were especially noted for being very accurate with the stones that left the sling in their hand. So he built up the military. He made it very, very powerful. And then you have this. It would be good, you know, if things could always just stay good. But the Bible says that he became so proud in his heart that he became unfaithful to the Lord and he acted corruptly before the Lord. And the Bible says he did that by walking into the holy place, into the temple, to burn incense. Now, if you know anything about the Bible and its history and about tabernacle worship and temple worship, you know that was not his right to do. It wasn't his privilege to do that. Only belonged to the house of Levi, the family of Aaron, to burn the incense upon that altar. But he grew so proud in his heart that he took it upon himself to do that. You know, I begin to think about that and to think about, well, what was his line of reasoning? Why would he think like that? Surely he knew the law of Moses. Surely he knew what God forbid in regard to that. Nevertheless, he did that. And I think it would be something good for all of us to ask ourselves, us as preachers, as leaders in the church, elders, servants, deacons, all of us as members in the church, the congregation as a whole, it would be good for us to examine this and think about his mindset and to wonder if we've become so proud in our heart that we begin to do those things we ought not to do. Did he become so proud in his heart that he stopped giving glory to God? Everything that God had blessed him with was amazing. He made him strong. He made him famous. He made him powerful. And I think perhaps in those early years, being 16 years of age, that he gave God the glory and God the thanks. But somewhere along the line, he began to think, boy, look what I've done. And he stopped giving the glory to God. And I think that's easy for any of us to do. As we look at our service, as we look at our talents, as we look at our abilities and perhaps the growth of the church, and we begin to say, look what I've done. And no, you haven't done it. God may use you to do it, but you haven't done it. God does it. And so we always give the glory and we always give the thanks to Almighty God in our life if we want to continue to prosper in our life. Perhaps he thought, you know, I'm a king and there's nothing that will be forbidden me. I can take hold of anything I want to take hold of. And if he was thinking like that, he was wrong. Because God has set some limitations even for the king. Perhaps he began to think, you know, I'm an exception to the rule. I know what God says about it. I know what his law says about burning of incense in the temple. But I'm an exception because look at the way God has blessed me and taken care of me and expanded the borders of our kingdom with me. Surely I'm an exception. I can get by with this. Perhaps he thought, you know, God's given me the liberty. We like to talk a lot today about liberty and about freedom to do certain things. But we don't talk too much about consequences and responsibilities. Yeah, you can do that, but that's not free. There's consequences for it. Perhaps he thought, really, it's not that important. You know, when you consider the fact that I have the throne and I have the kingdom and I've built these fortifications and I've made the army strong and I'm famous everywhere, that's what's really important. And it's not that important about the temple and who goes in to burn the incense. Oh, he was wrong about that. It was important because God had given his word about that. And so here you have a man that had been blessed by God. He had made amazing contributions through the power of God to the kingdom of Israel. He had repaired much that his father had lost, but the Bible says his heart grew so proud that he took it upon himself to do this. I suppose that if you list all the virtues that are supposed to belong to a Christian, high on the list would be this virtue of humility before God, submissiveness before God. And I don't know if those other virtues can really be attained or experienced, or we can really grow in those other virtues. We can really grow in our relationship to Almighty God, our Creator, and our brethren in the church unless we possess this. All of us can probably look at our lives and say, you know, I know what happened there. I was just thinking too much of myself. I was too prideful in regards to that. And so God tries to help us, does he not? He tries to help us. He gives us his word. He gives us examples like this. And he gave his only begotten son. And I'm thinking, if his only begotten son, who was worshipped by all in heaven, left the throne and came to earth and got on his knees and washed the feet of men, then who are we to be prideful? It's one of the last lessons that Jesus gave to his apostles, because if you remember, as they walked with him, they would discuss among themselves who is the greatest and who will sit on the right and who will sit on the left in the kingdom to come. And Jesus would say, you need to stop thinking like that, because the greatest of all is the servant of all. Well, was it important? Was it important that only those designated by God come to the altar of incense and burn incense upon it? Well, the passage certainly suggests that it was very important in the eyes of God to respect his authority, to expect his word. And there is no authority and there is no word that's higher than the word of God, even the word of a king. And there's other examples in the Bible that seem to bear this out. Surely you do remember Leviticus in the 10th chapter, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. The first high priest and his sons that were to officiate with him in the service in the tabernacle. And the Bible says that his sons, Nadab and Abihu, they came to burn incense, this same altar that we're talking about. But God looked down and he said, that strange fire that you're using. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them, destroyed his sons right there on the spot. And God said, listen to me, I will be treated as holy. And so the priests, the sons of Aaron, the very people that ought to be the example as far as giving God respect, as far as being mindful of God's word and treating God as holy and sacred, they were the ones that forgot it. You know the phrase there that says they gave to God strange fire? It means alien or something that's unauthorized, and it sometimes can be translated as foreign. As, you know, you have a foreigner to come into the country. And so this was foreign to what ought to be given to God as far as the burning of the incense. Now, I think it was this. I'm not absolutely sure, but I think when you put the scriptures together, it is this. You remember when they built the tabernacle and they consecrated everything and they had the altar of burnt offerings out there in front of the house of God. And the Bible says that that first consuming of an offering was done by fire that came out of heaven. And so that fire at the burnt offering at the altar was to be kept burning all the time, burning coals there. And when they were to go into the holy place and burn the incense with fire, they were to take the fire from that altar, the fire that came from heaven. But instead, they offered a different fire, a different source, strange fire. They knew exactly what God had said and what God wanted done. But they took it upon themselves to do as they pleased. And the Bible says there was fire that came out of heaven and consumed them. And you know what? God wouldn't even let them mourn for them. And so here's a powerful example, I think, of what God expects and how God is to be treated. I think we not only see that there, but we see that here. And sometimes we have a tendency, because of our pride, to overstep the boundaries of what God has given us. I know that God has given us in His Word the way that we're to be saved, the plan of salvation. And we overstep our boundaries when we remove those things that are conditional in the sight of God. He calls upon all of us to repent of our sins and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And He says to us who would minister and preach and bring the Word of God, don't you dare contradict what I've said on that. God has given us boundaries when it comes to the organization of the church and elders and deacons and teachers, evangelists, and we're not to break with that. Now, some people are going to say, I think, like the king said here, well, it's really not that important. Is it not that important if God has already given us His Word on what we're to do? It seems to be the trend in some places in churches of Christ today to put the women in roles that God has not put them in. Not because they're any less wise, not because they're any less spiritual, but because God has roles that they are to play in the home and in the church. And those roles are to be respected because it is by the authority of God. But in some places they have women that fill the pulpit, and in some places they have women that will be deacons and elders in the church, and it's not their place to do that. And it was not the place of this individual to fulfill the role of a priest. He wasn't a priest. In fact, the priest come in while he's doing that, 80 strong, and they face down the king, not an easy thing to do. And they tell the king, get out of the house of God. You don't belong here. That's pretty powerful, you know, when you're speaking to a king. Now the king is holding a censer in his hand, he's got the fire in it, he's ready to burn the incense. They tell him that, and the Bible says he gets angry. And the time he got angry, God says, enough is enough. And he broke out with leprosy on his forehead, and he died a leper. And when that leprosy broke out on his forehead and the priest saw it, they hurried him out. He was defiled. He knew then what he had done. But oftentimes we do not realize the danger of the things that we're doing until we face the consequences of it. That's what took place here. God had a role for the king. Wasn't it a marvelous role that he had? Wasn't he feeling it well? But he wanted to violate that role. He wanted to do something else. And by the way, Nadab and Abihu is not the only example in the Old Testament. If you go to 1 Samuel 13, you remember King Saul, another king. He was getting ready to fight the Philistines, and all of Israel was afraid because the Philistines greatly outnumbered them. In fact, the Bible says that the Israelites were hiding in the caves and the dens behind the rocks. They were trembling. And Saul said, everything's going to be all right. We just need Samuel to be here, the prophet, to make an offering to the Lord so that we will be powerful. Well, Samuel delayed his coming, but he had given word to Saul to wait till I get there to make the offering. Saul began to worry. He saw all of his men trembling and hiding. He said, I got to make a sacrifice and Samuel's not here. So he took it upon himself to make the sacrifice. And when Samuel got there, there were some consequences. You're going to be removed from the throne. You've chosen to be impatient, to be disobedient to God, not to respect His authority. I think all of those things are powerful lessons, and I think what we have before us here today is powerful. In the church, we have things that God has asked us to do, and He has roles that He's asked certain individuals to fill, and we're to stay within the confines of the authority of the Word of God. All of this is so valuable for us. And I think about it, and you know, when I think about what's going on in this text, I think about the predecessors of this king. Most of the time, the predecessors to this king and the king of Judah, their wrong was going to the house of a different god and worshiping. And that was wrong. Now, here's a king that goes to the house of God, but he worships the wrong way. And that was wrong too. And what the Bible is telling us, that we need to worship the one God, the true God, Yahweh, through Jesus Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, and we're to worship Him in the right way. We worship God in truth and in spirit, John 4, 23 through 24. This man was wrong in what he did. His predecessors were wrong as well. What honor had been bestowed upon him as king? 16 years old. How many men 16 years old get to rule over a kingdom? Not only that, but he was so successful. You know the Bible says in this text that as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. And this is what we have to put in our heart, to know God and to search for God and to seek the Lord and to put Him first in our life. And we can prosper as God would have us to prosper. But I think like old King Saul, sometimes we look around us, see what's happening, we see our enemies, and we become frightened. And we begin to take matters into our own hands. And that's not the thing to do. One thing I know for sure, any incense he would have burnt on the altar would not have been accepted by God. Just because a person is sincere in their worship doesn't mean it's acceptable. I have no doubt about his sincerity. He thought he was honoring God, but it wasn't according to the truth. It was not accepted. You know, our prayers, they're accepted before the throne of God in the name of Jesus Christ, because He is the appointed high priest. And the worship we give on days like today, it is acceptable to God because it comes through the sacrifice and the way provided in Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's only one way in which it is accepted, just as back then, during the days of King Uzziah. The burning of the incense, the worship given in the temple, could only be brought through the way designated by God, that is the priest. I'll tell you what, he made him see the difference, didn't he? Can you imagine being there on that occasion, breaking out in leprosy? I remember one time when we were on one of our treks there in the Grand Canyon, and I can't remember now if we were going up or coming down, but there were a bunch of people huddled around one individual that had fell to the ground and struck their head on a rock. Fortunately, one of the individuals that was with them was a nurse, but she had a pretty bad gash, as I remember it, over one of her eyes. And I remember looking down at her and looking at it and going, kind of grimacing, and then I thought, well, that's not the right thing to do. She'll think, man, this must really be bad, because she couldn't see it herself. And I'm thinking about Uzziah standing here, you know, in the temple of God, and leprosy breaks out on his forehead, and you got all these priests there, 80 in number, and they're looking at him like, what's going on here? And he's thinking, this must really be bad. And it was bad, wasn't it? Bible says he remained a leper until the day that he died. Now I want you to think about why God did it the way that he did it. You know, God has a reason for everything that he does. Did you know that in the Old Testament, the high priest, they had this turban, you know, part of their dress. And they had to be dressed just right to enter before the presence of God, which is another lesson within itself. But part of that dress, they had tied in a very thin plate of gold. And it connected into the turban. It was right on their forehead. And on that piece of gold was written the words, "Holy unto the Lord." And Josephus, you know, he makes some comments about that. He says that sometimes it was on one line, sometimes it was on two lines, but it was always there, "Holy unto the Lord." And so where did the leprosy break out? On his forehead. Unclean before the Lord, not holy before the Lord. And I'll tell you another reason God did it the way that he did it. According to the Old Testament rules, when a person had leprosy, they had to be inspected by the priest. The very people that he usurped the authority of were now to be his inspectors to see if he was getting any better or getting any worse. And another thing about this, he took it upon himself to enter into the holy place. Wasn't his right to do it, didn't have any authority to do that. And now with leprosy, he can't even enter on the outer grounds. He's excommunicated from it. He's unholy. And the Bible says he goes on to live in his own house. His son made decisions for him because he was a leper. And he died a leper. You know, I think about our lives today before God. I understand under Jesus Christ we have great privileges and great honor. and God has really blessed us. And if we'll take it upon ourselves to listen to the Word of God and to follow these examples, we're going to respect His authority and not only do things the way He would have us to do them, but do them with all of our heart and with all of our might, having the right spirit and right attitude. This is a way for the church to be blessed. Think about what God's done with you. I think, you know, God's really blessed us and this congregation because we have several women that take it upon themselves to, they serve in so many different ways, sometimes behind the scene, the community that a lot of people don't know anything about. And we have women that are faithful and dedicated here to their husbands and raising of their children the best godly way that they know how. And we have women here that really put forth the extra effort to go to our classes and teach our young people. And, you know, that's sort of the backbone of any congregation. God's given women a fabulous role in the church. And when the leadership in the church respects that role and uses that role, there's no greater way to be honored. There's no reason whatsoever for us to step outside that boundary and do things in a different way. Why would we want to do that? God has already blessed you with one of the most important roles that anybody could play in the church, in the family, in the community. So why would we want to do that? And that's true also with anything else that God has given us in the church. May God always be honored and respected among us. May we love Him and love His Word. If there's someone here today who hasn't come to the Lord, will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He took our sins on His back for our behalf that we might be saved. He loves you. He wants to save you. But you need to respond to Him, repenting of sins, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. If you want to know more about that, if you want to study about the way of salvation, I'm here to do that and others are as well. We're always open to that, to prayer and to study. And if someone needs to come because there's sin in your life, and perhaps you've been one of these, like King Uzziah. You know, one of the hard things about pride is a person that is prideful hardly ever knows they're prideful. Uzziah kind of fits into that. He was so proud, but he got so humbled real quick. If you need to come, will you not come as we stand and as we sing? I pray.